Welcome to the Financial Coconut Podcast Network, the leading personal finance podcast network in Singapore. I'm your host, Reggie, aka your chief financial coconut. Every Thursday, you will finally get to chill with us. Hosted by Andrew, we will be bringing on some of the quirkiest, geekiest, leading voices in the personal finance space to give them ample time to talk about their story, the lessons they have learned over time, and some good advice for all of us. No longer the short and quick stuff. So sit back and chill with TFC.
Yeah, we have met people with like many different expectations and criteria. But I always tell like my consultants, like, I mean, like what we are trying to do here, it's like we are not really, you know, like waiter or waitresses, you know, we're not just here to take orders. So what we are here to do is,
I want
like,
steak medium rare, you know, like, fulfill all the criteria before we go out for the date, right?
Yes.
Hello and welcome to Chill with TFC, where we sit down with geeky and quirky individuals to learn about how they do this thing called money and life. My name is Andrew, and today we have an expert on love. Yes, this is the Financial Coconut, but we're going to talk about love and money. Violet is the founder of Lunch, actually. You would have seen her on media and heard about Lunch, actually, a matchmaking service that's been in Singapore for 18 years. We talk about what do people look out for in their partner and how does it change over the generations. Listen to some interesting and funny stories about dates that didn't go so well. And we discuss the role of money in making a relationship work out for the long term. Also, Violet is on our Mandarin show, Li Cai Oh Yeah, recently, and so you can check it out as well.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So we have Chief Cupid in the house.
Yay!
Right, because I understand, I've seen you on posters, and it says Chief Cupid, right?
That's right.
You know, it caught my attention because, you know, Reggie is the Chief Financial Coconut.
Ah, yeah, so, that's so cute.
Yeah, we're all using the Chief, you know.
In different ways,
you know. Yeah. And you're the Chief Cupid, and you have a group of Cupids, little Cupids under that's right. you, right?
yes.
You call them Cupids?
Yeah, internally, like, we call them Cupids.
Right, I'm referring to the, I mean, you can think of it as account managers, or what's the professional term for it?
For clients, they're actually known as dating consultants.
Right, yes. Right. I mean, this is Violet from Lunch, actually.
That's right.
And so, could I still use a matchmaking agency to describe your company and the services that you offer?
Yeah, matchmaking is a correct term to describe what we do. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, but right now there's so many different ways of doing it, right? Mm-hmm. And especially during COVID, y'all have different ways of matching up people or helping them to meet up, right? Of course, it's over Zoom or what have you, right? It's a lot of creative ideas.
Definitely. I think COVID was very interesting. It really forced like everybody, including us, out of our comfort zone.
Mm.
Like, because I think when it first hit, I was like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Because as a matchmaking or dating company, we are still very much like face-to-face. So like we meet up with our clients face-to-face, our clients meet up with each other face-to-face, and then now it's like, you're not supposed to meet. What are we going to do about it? But I think thankfully, like our Cupids, you know, they are really very agile. Like we managed to pivot very quickly, and then we move on to virtual. So we started doing like Zoom consultations, like if we need to coach them, we do like Zoom coaching as well. And then of course for our clients, that's the next frontier. Like how are we going to let them meet up with each other? So we decided to go with Zoom dates as well. But honestly, when we first started, like clients were quite not so open to it, because the things that they say to us is like, you know, I'm already using Zoom for work. Mm. You mean like I need to use Zoom for dating as well?
Yeah, it feels different. We like the in-person,
face-to-face. Yes, definitely. So, but I think once like sort of the like cabin like fever kind of set in, like after not seeing people for a while, then they are like, okay, you know, I'll think about it, I'll consider it. And of course, we try to make it more interesting for them as well. So like we will say, okay, you know, like let's do a theme, you know, like why not? It's like cocktail night or something, you know, like go and prepare your favorite cocktail, and then like when you meet each other, you can talk more about it. Or like, let's say, you know, do a black and white or whatever. So just try and make it a bit more fun. We also have done things like maybe a virtual date in the museum, you know, because there were actually a lot of museums like just opening up you know, virtually for people to experience. And the virtual dates were very interesting, like ultimately. So I think one of the things that happened was that some people ended up like meeting the parents very early on because it's like clearly everybody's kind of at home, right? So we had this.
You mean the dad walks across? Yeah, son, are you talking to this girl?
Yeah, that could be. That could be one of it. But the one that we actually heard the story was that. So this lady say, you know, we had to cut short the date. And then we're like, what happened? So apparently, like, they were talking, and then eventually, then the lady keep hearing the guy's mom, like, outside the door, keep knocking. Hey, a boy, eat dinner already. yes, correct. Right. So then after a while, she also feel a bit paisei lah, like, you know, feel a bit embarrassed about it. Then had to cut short the date. So we thought like that was quite funny. Another story was also very sweet. Like, they actually ended up watching sunset together. Yeah, because like you're at home, and then like probably like, you know, the window or something, right? So I think dates, we still feel that face to face is still the best. But I guess during COVID, like, you know, we just adjusted, and that was one of the things that we did. And out of some of these virtual dates, like eventually when they can meet up in person, they did, and then they end up being a couple. So
yeah, so we're back to the norm right now. Yes. We're doing more face-to-face dates, of course. Yes. How long has lunch actually been around?
Oh, wow. we have been around for 18 years. And then I always tell people, I started a business at 12. Okay, but anyways.
I thought it was 6.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, that's too young to start a business. That's ridiculous, but yeah. Right, so years of experience, and you know about men and women and how they are in love, relationships, romance. Yes. We'll talk about all of this, of course. We'll come from a financial point of view sometimes, because this is financial cook now. But of course, if you have interesting stories to share, you know, feel free to jump in with that, right? Right, so let me ask you this. So who should pay for the first date?
Actually, this is quite straightforward. I think for us, when we arrange the date, we usually tell them that, you know, feel free to go Dutch.
Right.
But I think there is an expectation for the guy to pay for the first date. And we also always tell the guy, like, please, you know, if it was a good date, like, just pay for the first date. Because honestly, when we arrange the date, we are also not arranging like Michelin restaurants or something. Yeah, because it is a blind date. It's the first time that you meet. But I think like it makes a much better impression, like, for the guy to like at least offer to pay. Because I think girls nowadays, they are also like very independent, and then they are like, you know, like, I can look after myself, I can pay for myself. But I think at least that gesture of like offering, like, the girl can say yes, she can pay half, or she can turn it down, that's all good. But I think offering to pay for the first date on the guy's part is important.
Yeah, that seems to be the case among my female friends.
Yes.
And right now, you go on YouTube, right? You see some like street interviews. Yes. Like, okay, what do you expect the guys to do on the first date?
Yes.
And yeah, I hear answers like that. Like, okay, I can pay. Like, let's say I'm a female, and I say I can pay, but it'd be nice if the guy offers to pay.
Definitely.
After the nice does this gesture, and then I will offer to pay half, right, as the female, as the girl,
and I think on that note, it's important that the girl don't just like sit there and like, you know,
wait for you to take out your credit card.
So I think like when the guy offers, I think it's nice for the girl to like also either offer to pay half or like say that, oh, thank you for dinner, lunch, or whatever, but you know, the next time let me take it. Or, you know, like if you're going for like tea or coffee later, to say, okay, let me buy you like a coffee later.
Right.
So I think that's nice, because we also do not want people to have the feeling that like we are like kind of like leeching off them or something.
I'm
right?
here for a free meal.
Yes, exactly. Especially when, you know, you do not know each other very well. And on that note, that was actually an interesting story.
Right.
So there was this date, like the lady was very upset after it, and then she gave us the feedback. She said, oh, you know, it was so bad. Like, he was not a gentleman. Like, after the date, he actually walked me to the ATM, you know, like to get my share of the money to pay him back. I mean, these days, those days don't have PayNow and PayLah yet, right?
Okay.
So then we were like, oh, okay. Like, we were quite surprised, because for this guy, like, he has been on other dates arranged by us previously, and then we know that he paid for every single date.
Yeah, so it's not his problem. I mean, based on his history.
Yes, based on the history. Yeah. So we were like, oh, what really happened here? So like, after each date, we always do feedback, right? So then we also call the guy and find out from him what happened. His like concern, or like why he behaved in such a manner, was that he really felt that the girl was just there for a free meal. Because it's like, she's just kind of like, oh, you know, like, I don't have any money in my wallet, or like, I've run out, you know, that sort of thing. And I think that just gave him a very bad feeling. And then ultimately, he's just like, okay, let's go to ATM and get some money then. Which, I mean, clearly, that's not a good thing to do on first date. Yeah, like,
but he didn't want to carry on a relationship with this person already anyway, because of the bad impression.
Yes, of course. So, I mean, just sharing that, I think it's just important for both parties to be gracious about it.
Yeah, I think based on expectations that the guy should be prepared to pay for the full meal. And if the girl offers, right, then okay, then you can discuss to go Dutch. Or it's a case of usually I pay for this meal, you pay for the next one. Then we can
then have can a meet second again.
Date, right? Yes. There's a reason, there's an excuse for, exactly. for a second date.
Exactly.
Just about paying.
Yes.
How about, you mentioned that you, of course, don't arrange for Michelin star restaurants, you don't make them go coffee shops also, right?
Of course, of course.
So what's kind of range?
Okay, so our range usually would be, actually, it's not so much the range, it's more like what the restaurant can offer us, right? So we definitely need to go to a place where we can make a reservation. Yeah, so I mean clearly like McDonald's or Starbucks or Kopitiam,
you can't make a reservation.
Okay, so I think that's one. Why it needs to be a reservation made, because it's a blind date. Yeah, so they have never met each other, so they probably don't know who they are, right? So with a reservation, then like the waiter or waitress can like bring them to the right table. The other thing is like we go for restaurants that are not too noisy. Yeah, because if it's too noisy, like you're meeting each other for the first time, can't really talk.
Okay.
Yeah, but also the third thing is that we also don't want a place that is too quiet or too romantic as well.
Yeah, that'll be really scary.
Yes, it can be very scary and very awkward, like especially if like everybody around you is like they're having like candlelit dinners or something, right? Yep, so like those are kind of like some of our criteria. And then other than that, it's really up to the singers. Like some of them, they do tell us that you know, there are certain restaurants that they like going to, you know, they can give us a list for us to consider. But if not, then you know, we'll go with these three of our criteria when it comes to arranging a date.
Let's take away an arranged date, right? Let's say you really want to, you know, get to know someone better. Where do you go for a first date? Usually, it's one of those places that you mentioned, right?
Nice
ambiance, enough to talk, but not so quiet until it's very awkward. And it seems like you'll have to be cafes, at least. At least cafes, right?
Yes, cafes or like restaurants are fine as well. Okay, so I think a question I get asked quite often is like, they say like, okay, your company is called Lunch actually, so does it mean that you only arrange lunch? So the answer is no.
it's not lunch actually.
Because I mean, it's a one-to-one date, so technically it really could be anytime. But we just try not to say it's a dinner date, because I think with dinner, like the connotation that it's like really quite long, like it could be like, you know, appetizer, main course, and then dessert, right? So if you're meeting for the first time, like a blind date, and you know things are not really going the way that you want it to, then you feel a bit awkward. But I think with lunch, like, or you know, like shorter meals, like it's kind of like short, sweet, and casual, like sort of like, okay, you know, like long enough to get to know someone better, to see whether you want to meet again, but like not too long for it to be awkward should it not work out.
So it's not just monetary considerations, all of these as well, right?
Yes, that's right.
And you mentioned that your first impression, of course we all know first impression very important. I want to ask you about this, about, you know, what do men and women look out for? And I want to paint it with the context of, you know, there's this phrase in Chinese, and it's called like, women are looking for men who are 高富帅, right? Which means like tall.
Yes.
高 is tall, and 富 is rich, and then 帅 is good looking.
Yes, yes.
And it's interesting to me that, you know, out of these three qualities, right, two of them are physical.
Yes.
Physical, right? Yes. You know, tall and handsome.
Yes.
But the last one is financial.
Yes, yes.
Like,
yes.
Money is still an important consideration.
I would say yes, definitely, but maybe not in a way that people might think it is. So like, for example, like ladies who come to us, honestly, they are very well accomplished. They are doing very well in their career, you know, like in terms of financial, they are fairly independent. Yeah. So like when it comes to finding the right one for them, like they might not say that, okay, I need someone who's rich. You know, I'm not, I need someone who, like, I don't know, owns like a GCB or something. So that's not like, you know, what they are like saying. I'm sure it's like for everybody, they're not just ladies. Like, if it happens to be that way, it's a bonus, right? Like, why not? But that's not like exactly like the leading criteria. Right. But then I guess what they are looking for, it's in terms of like confidence. Like how this person carry him or herself. I mean, in this case, himself. Are they like, you know, have ambition? Yeah, so it's more this kind of things, which I feel it's the right indicators. Because, I mean, I always tell people, like, ultimately, you are going out with someone, or you're looking for someone who's very rich, you know, like, but it doesn't mean that this person cannot go bankrupt, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, and then, like, if you're going out with someone who's, like, kind of starting out, it doesn't mean that this person could not be a billionaire eventually, right?
So there's, like, a blue chip stock there.
Yes, yeah. So it's really more, like, the criteria or the characteristics of this person that potentially can help this person, like, be where they could be later. Yeah, and I think like that's what some of the things that ladies are looking for. So like sometimes for guys, like if they are very shy or like they seem like not so confident, yeah, it might be a bit more challenging. And maybe it's not even like they are not doing well, but it's just the way they carry themselves.
I see.
Yeah.
It's more of, it points to the character of the yes. guy, the traits that I'm looking yes, for, right? Yes. In my ideal partner.
That's right. Right. Then on another note, like with that, the other challenge is also because a lot of these ladies, like I mentioned just now, they're very successful, they're doing very well, you know, like they're earning tons of money, you know. So I think when they're looking for their ideal partner, they're also looking for someone on the same level. Again, not because like it's like, oh, you know, because I want someone who's rich.
Mm.
But it's more like because they have attained a certain lifestyle as well. I guess they are very comfortable and like they do not really want to lower their lifestyle.
Mm.
Yeah, so we understand that. So when we are doing the matching, what we usually do is like, okay, we do ask for their salary range.
Right.
Actually, in fact, we ask for their salary slips.
Yes, we do.
So we do ask for all of this information. But when it comes to matching, we do not review it. But it helps us in our matching because we also match like accordingly. Like we do not match people who's like too far off in terms of the range.
Ah.
Because I think it would also create some issues as well.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm guessing that based on data, when you match two people who are not in the within the same range,
yes.
usually it might not work out.
Yeah, that's right. Oh. I mean, it's still the case, like maybe for guys, like let's say, you know, someone who's like doing very well, like it might not matter so much to them, like how much the lady earns, but some like they are like, oh, you know, I'm also looking for someone who is equally like successful in terms of career, but usually guys are like maybe not as particular. But I think for ladies, like it is something that is important to them. So as a result, we also would not like match someone with them which is like too far off from where they are.
I mean, it's still practical and realistic considerations.
Yes, that's
but that was
right.
a good point because I have so many female friends who are high income earners.
Yes.
Right? And okay, I'll give an example of this friend. She's a banker, okay, earning a lot of money.
Yes.
Well, it's not so much she wants the guy to be earning the same as her.
Yes.
But it's just that she doesn't want the guy to be bumming around.
Yes.
I mean, she's prepared for the fact that she might be earning than her partner, her boyfriend, her husband, right?
Yeah.
But you don't bum around.
Exactly. You know? So I think like because sometimes they're also realistic because it really depends on the industry you're in as well.
Mm.
Like so clearly if you're in the like banking and financial industry, like, you know, you do get paid a lot. And like, I think it's very good like where your friend's coming from, right? So like, let's say she's going with someone who is like a musician or an artist, like they might not be earning as much, but in terms of like skills or expertise, like they are like could be on at the top of their field.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think that's what your friend is like trying to say as well, right? Like,
that's
so they're looking
for
someone who is like working, you know, they are, you know, like interested in like pursuing their career, they are doing well, but okay, you know, like maybe because of their industry, they might not be earning as much as I am, but that's okay. As long as they're not like bumming around and...
Right.
On that note, you know, like I also know of this girl, like she's a PhD holder. Yeah, so like clearly like very intelligent, like doing very well. At one point, she actually started not saying that she has a PhD. Yeah, because like she realized that whenever she go on dates or like when she like, you know, go for these dating events, and then once the guy hear that she has a PhD, they're kind of, oh, okay. And then they just kind of like go away. Yeah, so like she feel that, okay, having a PhD seems to be a detriment.
Yeah.
Because I think people like might have just certain ideas of like who they are. But it was very funny. So there was one time where she went on a dating event, and then there was this guy, I think somehow like the guy found that she has a PhD, but then the guy is like very successful himself, and then he's very confident, like he's an entrepreneur, and then like, and he actually just went around telling everybody else that she has a PhD, so they'll just stay away from her.
Okay. So that's another, but of course he's established in his own field, right?
Yes, like he's mentioned entrepreneur. Ultimately they did end up together.
Okay.
Yeah, but you're right. Like sometimes it seems as if like, you know, this is actually something very good, you know, like I've done so well for myself, but how is it like when it comes to dating, like it could become a detriment.
Mm.
But I think to that friend of yours, just, you know, like sharing this story to encourage her, right? Like you will find someone who actually will appreciate that about you, and in fact, you know, they are very happy for you.
Yeah, she's learning to own it.
Yes.
I mean,
own it. Exactly.
Yeah, own it, right? It feels like you're hiding yourself. yourself. Yeah, making yourself smaller than who you really are. But now, so she doesn't talk about income last time. Mm. She's learning to own it right now.
Awesome.
So all of these different criteria when you talk about like dating men and women, different expectations, right? Yes. We are looking out for different things.
Yeah.
Imagine you ask for that income slip.
Yes.
Now, of course, I'm imagining that they need to fill in some form about their ideal qualities that they're looking for. Right?
But then,
do they put like, you know, I want him to earn certain income. Yeah, yeah.
So that's the interesting part. Like in terms of the profiling, like they're filling their personal info, we ask about their income range and then we ask for the income slip to prove it, right? But when it comes to the criteria, we don't ask them like what range are you looking for?
No, I want this height.
the height, yes. Not the financial.
Not the financial.
Yes. Because I think like I say, you know, we already tell them upfront, honestly, we wouldn't be matching too far off lah. Because like if we know like we are matching like so far off, it's not going to work as well. Okay, but at the same time, like we do not want people to kind of like just focus very much on like the financial number,
right?
And also honestly, like I think as a guy or a girl, right, especially if you're a high earner and you know that you're being matched with this person because they are looking for someone who's earning like that income when they are not, you also won't feel very comfortable with meeting this person.
Your dating consultants will help out with that aspect, right? I don't know if I met people with really unrealistic expectations.
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, like, in the last 18 years, like, we have met, like, thousands of people.
Sorts, right?
And, we have met people with, like, many different expectations and criteria. But I always tell, like, my consultants, like, I mean, like, what we are trying to do here, it's, like, we are not really, you know, like, waiter or waitresses. You know, we're not just here to take orders. So what we are here to do is,
I want
like,
steak medium rare. You know? Like, fulfill all the criteria before we go out for the date, right?
So I say, like, we are more like dietitians or nutritionists. Because I think, like, if you are, like, a waiter or waitress, then, like, whatever the person orders, you just deliver, right? But I think like when you're a dietitian or nutritionist, it's like if you know this person eat this and they're going to die, right? You're not going to like recommend it to them.
Right.
So it's really like based on like what they are looking for and based on like where they are right now, based on their, you know, like whatever you have learned about them, like, you know, how do we then share with them and also manage their expectations. Because I mean, clearly if like someone come to us and say that I'm looking for like a supermodel lookalike, you know, like, or I'm looking for like a billionaire, like, do we have like, maybe we have, you know, one or two, you know, because it's very much like the average population, right? But I always say we are not a modeling agency, right? So it might not be realistic to put out like such a criteria. So we work with them on that. Like, so for example, there was this lady once, she came to us and she say that she's only looking for someone who is a doctor. Then we're like, okay.
Very specific.
Exactly. Then we're like, oh, you know, like, why doctors, right? Like, I mean, at the back of our mind, we're thinking like probably because doctors, they are usually financially stable, you know, they're doing very well. So like we ask about it, we're like, okay, why not consider like other professions who also would give you like this you know, criteria as well.
Don't tell me she's sick.
No.
She has a condition.
I just asked her to go to hospital. But
literally look for a doctor.
But actually, the reason for that is because her family members, actually all of them are doctors other than her. I think she's also like in the healthcare industry, but not a doctor. But like her mom, her dad, her brother, her sister, they are all doctors. And I mean, now that I have like more and more doctor friends, I realize that when they all come together, like they are like in a, I don't know, like talking alien language, you know? Rest of us like just don't know what's happening.
Right.
So I think like probably she's very close to her family, and then she just felt that maybe someone who is a doctor like would just be able to, you know, get along better, right? Then we're like, okay, understand, you know, like, so let's see how that works. So interestingly, like I think like a few days or a few weeks later, like, you know, there was a doctor that actually came and signed up, and then like it was a very good match for her. So we actually matched them together and eventually they got together. So like there are such criteria sometimes. So we just see whether we can work with it. But like, let's say there was another criteria where this lady was like, I only want to meet people from Hong Kong. And then we're like, you know, we're in Singapore, right?
Oddly specific too.
So we do have a branch in Hong Kong, right? But I mean, here in Singapore. So then we're like, why do you want to meet someone who's from Hong Kong? You know, why must this person be a Hong Konger? And then she's like, oh, because, you know, like my mom is from Hong Kong, or I think, you know, whatever. So then in that case, we actually didn't sign her up. I actually say, do you know that there's actually like a society called like, you know, Kowloon Club or something in Singapore.
Okay, okay.
So it's actually people who actually, you know, maybe migrated to Singapore from Hong Kong. So I say that might actually be a better place for you to potentially meet someone.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you couldn't help her with
Yes. So I would say that, yes, we do get like different sort of criteria or, you know, ask or expectation, but we'll manage it. So if like we feel that, okay, I don't think this is possible, this is not going to work out, then we'll probably either point them in the right direction or just say, you know, like maybe we're not able to work with you right now. I think I usually like would talk to them about this as well, because I think a lot of times that when we are looking for a partner and then we put our criteria, a lot of the times the criteria are very much like superficial criteria. Which is, you know, like what we have talked about just now, like maybe a university degree, you know, like a profession or like height, things like that, right? Which then my question to like my clients always is like, okay, what are you looking for? What is your ultimate objective? It's like, okay, if like, let's say you're looking for a short-term relationship, you know, just like have fun, casual, right? Then okay, you know, like the person like looking very good or like very fit or whatever, all this like makes sense, right? But I say if you're looking for like a long-term relationship or like marriage or like lifelong partner, which means that, you know, like if everything goes well, you guys are going to be together for the rest of your life. And then like I say, honestly, by the time everybody is like 70, 80 years old, we all look the same. So like question is like, when you are looking for a partner, the criteria, like shouldn't it be like whether this criteria would give you like a good partner, a good husband, a good wife, or like a good father, a mother to your child, right? You know what I'm saying? So like for example, ladies, you know, just now back to the initial question you asked me, you know, there's this Chinese saying like ladies are looking for like gao fu shuai, right?
Right.
So
and there's the flip definition of it, which is men are looking for women who are bai fu mei.
Oh, bai fu mei.
Right. So bai will be fair skin.
I mean,
don't cancel me.
Yeah.
I didn't come up with it. Like yes. We can acknowledge the bai in thinking of it this way, right?
Yes,
and then
yes.
Fu is also rich and mei is also is beautiful, good looking, right?
Yes, yeah.
Again, Fu is there. Financially, you know, rich is there.
For ladies, I would say height is definitely important. That's something that it's usually a non-negotiable for a lot of ladies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, then the man must be taller than them.
Or like of a certain height.
Right.
Yeah, like maybe when we first started, like the height was like maybe 1.75 and then now it just keeps going taller and taller.
Oh, okay.
Like now, like some people put out like 1.8 or like 1.85. I'm like, you watch too
much. It's like making a wish list.
Yeah.
You're like a genie. Man. Yeah, exactly. Cupid, so I'm making my wish to you.
Yes, but then
I want all this. Yeah.
I'll be like, I think you watch too much Korean drama, you know, because like all the like oppas, they're like super tall, right? But I'm like, do you know what's the average height of Singaporean. So the answer, it used to be 1.71, but I'm happy to share with you that the average has gone a bit higher. Now it's 1.73.
Oh, I think the younger people, they are getting taller. Yes. I think they're having good nutrition and what have you.
It is. So now the average is 1.73.
Oh no.
But then I'm saying like, the important question is like, does a guy's height have any correlation to whether he's going to be a good husband or good father? Don't have. There's no correlation at all, right?
Mm.
So, like, why are you placing so much importance on this criteria? Like, you should be placing more importance on criteria. It's like, okay, is this person, like, kind? Is this person, like, you know, like, lawyer? Is this person, like, trustworthy? Like, because these are the things that will make a good husband or a good father. These are the things that we talk to them about and, like, work with them on, lah. I mean, I have to say, we don't always succeed because like to a certain extent like maybe we are just programmed, you know, biologically to look for certain like biological markers lah. But I think like if you are able to kind of take a step back and just look at why, you know, why am I attracted to these things, why are these things important to me, and are these things really going to contribute to us having a fulfilling, long-lasting relationship, then you maybe start to relook your criteria list.
Yeah, people who have a criteria, a list of qualities to look out for, right? I mean, maybe you can really look into it and find out, like, why is this important to you? Why is this important to you?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and then you can look at the bigger picture.
Yes.
Go beyond the superficial qualities.
Yes, exactly.
And it's interesting to me that you also match them financially, right? Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, the income more or less in the same range.
Yes.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'll ask you this, but I can answer it personally if you want to. Like, when do you think a couple should talk about finances? I'm assuming not on the first date.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think definitely not the first date. So I think maybe just to build on that,
right.
Like, because the way I describe it is also like financial terms in a way. When it comes to dating, right, it's very important to imagine that there's kind of like an emotional bank account. Yeah, so what that means is that, like, for example, like, you and I, like, have not met. Let's assume, you know, this is the first time we're meeting. So, like, okay, maybe, you know, you have heard about me somewhere, you know, I've heard about you somewhere. And, like, okay, maybe somehow, you know, those were, like, positive things you have heard about each other. So maybe we are starting at, like, positive 10 each, for example, right? And then when we meet, then, like, we're like, oh, yeah, really good. You know, like, it really syncs up to whatever I know. And then it goes up to 20. And then the more we know about each other, it goes up to 30, whatever, right? But, of course, in any, like, relationship, there will be certain things that then you hear, you're like, okay, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Like, and then, like, maybe it will deduct some points.
Minus points.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's important to really make sure that you're positive first before you start drawing on it. So back to your question about when is a good time to talk about financials, because these are like more sensitive kind of topics, like for example, like you know, we always say things past relationships, you know, or like maybe money, or like religion, or like politics. No, all these are like kind of sensitive, and then you do not want to like really talk about it on a first date. And then I'm sure like most of the time, like, people would have different opinions or different values on one of these topics, right? Then you guys could have worked this out eventually, like once you get to know each other better, you know, once you have built up that emotional bank account. But because you start drawing down immediately when like you're at zero, or like, you know, like already a negative, then clearly it wouldn't work lah. Like there's no way it's going to progress to like a second, third or fourth date.
It does suggest that you need to be at a stable phase in a relationship, because then the emotional bank is full. Then that's when I can use a bit of the credits to talk a bit about finances, right? Because we might want to build a future together. But it's still important to talk about.
It's definitely important to talk about. I would say that finance, I'm sure you know, like, it's one of the biggest reason why people get divorced.
Yeah, there's statistics that shows that. Yeah.
So I think the problem with that is also once you get married, of course, like there's like reality to face as well, right? Or I think sometimes even people preparing for marriage, that's also where a lot of money matters come in, because like preparing for the wedding, you know, like who pays what. That's also, I think, have heard quite a number of people who like just, you know, break up at that point. So I think it's important to talk about like money, like once, you know, you have sort of like built up that emotional bank account, you're comfortable with each other, and then share a bit more. Because how people handle money, it's very different. Like, I mean, just my personal story. For me, you know, my family, it's where like my parents, they just pool like all their money together. Like whatever they earn, you know, like they just pool it together, and then they use together from the same pool. And then, you know, they don't really count like, okay, you pay this or whatever, because it's just the same pool of money, right? I really like that arrangement. And I thought that, you know, like when I get married, like that's how I want to manage my money. But then actually for my husband, like his family handled it differently. We dated for 5 years before we got married. Probably, I don't know, in like first or second year or something, because I'm a person that I don't like to waste time, right? Actually, 6 months into the relationship, I already kind of like bring up like the marriage topic. Like, not to say let's get married now.
But are we working towards that?
Yes, exactly. Because I just feel like, okay, if we do not have the same objective, right, I also don't want to waste each other's time.
Let's not waste each other's time.
So I'm sure, I think I brought up like the management of money like at some point. So I think that also gave him a chance to kind of observe like my parents as well. And I think then he realized that, hey, actually this is quite a good way to deal with it. So subsequently when we got married, like that is how we deal with our money as well. But I do understand like there are couples out there that, you know, like they meet at their peak of their career, you know, both of them are doing very well, and then you are like, you know, is that going to work? So there's no one size fit all, there's no perfect answer. Like, you know, your perfect answer could be like, you know, having a joint account and each person putting in the money. Or, you know, someone else's perfect answer could be like, you know, someone put a bit more, someone put a bit less, dependent on how much they earn, whatever, right? It doesn't matter. But it's a conversation that needs to be had and needs to be agreed upon, because you do not want to like get into a marriage then it's like, huh, you mean you do it like that? Then it just creates a lot of friction.
Thanks for sharing your personal story on it. Because I mean, I guess different couples have different ways of managing the communication, not just the finances, the communication about the finances itself is also and art. You know, yes, different people do it differently.
Yeah, but I just feel it's just important to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's also the reason why I do advise people to go for pre-marriage workshops or counselling. I think it just surfaces a lot of things that people don't usually think of when they are in this like lovey-dovey mood, right? Because like, I think when we are in love, you know, like, and everything is like amazing, you know, like we look at everything with like rose-tinted lenses. But when you're in a marriage, like there is, you know, you come down to earth, right? There are certain like things that you're like, wow, I need to deal with all these things. So I think it's so important to just talk them out, and you might not, you know, come to like a answer, but at least there's that awareness that, okay, you know, like we do have certain differences here and we need to work on it.
Yeah, it's better to have the tough conversations back then.
Yes.
Rather than later down the road and you realize that, okay, yeah, cannot got kids really. Yes. And all those things, you know.
Yes.
Life gets complicated after
it
that.
It does.
Right. But of course, lunch actually helps them to the extent that they get married, right?
Because yes.
In your business, you don't have repeat customers, so to speak. Once you have a successful case study, off you go, right?
Yes, that's right.
You don't get like, you know, repeat business every month, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right. What do you see among younger people? I'm referring to like Gen Z, early 20s, right? Are things shifting? Do they look for different values in a partner?
I would say that, you know, like, interestingly, because actually at different points, I would think that like, wow, would I get like, you know, kind of like irrelevant, you know, like all these things that I've learned, you know, in like my experience, right? So that's why I'm always very happy to catch up with like you say, the Gen Z or the younger crowd, right? So I do get quite a lot of requests, like when they want to come to like interview me for their coursework. Like, so, you know, like, I don't know, like sometimes they are from like Ngee Ann, they are doing like media, then they are like, you know, they have their own internal radio show, you know, or like they're just doing a project about like matchmaking or whatever degrees they are in. I'm always very happy to meet up with them. And like, interestingly, the things that I'm telling them, like, it still applies. So I guess like when it comes to dating, like, you know, certain things that always apply lah. But one thing I did realize, you know, talking to like young people, one is definitely in terms of like female, like the mindset is changing in terms of who pays. Yeah, it's quite interesting. Like, actually quite a number of them would be like, no, I definitely would not want the guy to pay on the first date. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then I say why, and then I think the reason for that is that they do not want to feel obliged. Yeah, so I think the feeling of not wanting to feel obliged, then like to see whether this guy is like, you know, really sincere, like the not wanting to feel obliged seems to be stronger. Then I'm like, okay, you know, like, I mean, it could be like the whole girl power and, you know,
very nuanced.
Yes.
Do they still hope that the guy offers to pay, just that she will say no, let's go Dutch?
Yeah, I think so. But okay. I think ultimately they still would pay their half.
Yeah,
like
their
as
half.
Compared to like maybe like ladies who are in their, I don't know, like 30s now. And then another thing is that my concern is a lot of them are not dating, like when they are at university or
But that's the best time to date, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I missed that part of my life. I missed it. I did not date enough. I should go back.
Yeah, but at least you dated. You know, like, so a lot of them are not dating, and like it's such a like big concern, I feel. Like because sometimes they invite me to like, I don't know, talk about entrepreneurship or whatever, right? But I always like try to sneak in. Like, I'm like, okay, so are you guys dating? And like, surprisingly, a lot of them are not. And then
what are they busy with?
Right? Then I ask them, what are you guys doing then? They are like, oh, you know, I'm so much work, you know, like so much projects, I want to do well. My parents say don't date. Or like one is like very concerned. Like they say, the guys cannot make it.
Okay.
Then I'm like, what? You know, so that's also the concern, right? Because like now we're just bombarded with like so much of this like Korean dramas. Like, you hear me like blame Korean dramas a lot, even though I do watch Korean dramas. But I think it just sometimes give people like unrealistic expectations as well. And I think my concern is that like, if people do not have real life dating experiences, and then like when they go out there and their only dating experiences is from Korean drama, then we are in big trouble.
Okay. I would think they are on apps. Are they not? Okay, because among my nephews and nieces, I'm getting older. My nephews
really?
And nieces.
You look very young.
I got nephews and nieces who are early 20s, entered the workforce already. Yeah. And so to them, what I realized during Chinese New Year when I observed them, right? And then,
they're swiping.
They are okay. They are okay with the whole Tinder and all this. Like, they accepted it. Yeah. Whereas for my generation, to talk about it like that, for my generation, like, any form of matchmaking might still be a taboo. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you know, like, even if you go for it, you might not talk about it.
Yes,
them it's like, it's swiping, it's normal.
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, definitely, dating apps is interesting. Like, not just with the young. Actually, I have a lot of friends who are, like, maybe divorced. They are also on dating apps as well.
Yeah.
So, I think, like, it's just something that is very convenient. Right, you know, it's like, and I always say that it's like you can do it like before you go to bed, you know, you're waiting for MRT or whatever, right? It's like always like in your hands. But coming back to us, so I think for us, it's a bit different. Like, because I mean, I've been around for like 18 years, and then we do have, when we first started, like we have people in their 30s who come to us, right? And then 18 years later, we still have people in their 30s coming to us. So I think people who come to us, it's like, it's in a very different phase in life. Like, so we are targeting people who are not looking like for something casual, not looking for like one night stands. We are also not targeting people who are looking to get married tomorrow, because like, we can't deliver on that, right?
Okay.
Yeah, so people who come to us, usually they are looking to settle down like in like 18 to 24 months. So those are the people that come to us.
Mm.
Yeah, and also they are serious-minded. So I'm serious. I'm also looking for other like-minded serious people.
Mm.
So like, because coming to us in a way that's already a natural filtering system. Yeah, because clearly, you know, if like people are not serious, like they don't even bother, right? There are just so many other platforms for them to look for someone. But then they know that, okay, if someone else also have come to you and then they have gone through the screening, they are willing to invest in this journey as well. So chances are like they are more serious. And so when we do a match and then when they do end up like, you know, like liking each other and then they start dating seriously, the chances of them succeeding is actually quite high.
Mm. Yeah, can I ask how is managing high net worth individuals different from your lunch actually group?
I would say that for high net worth individuals, like usually they are very clear about what they are looking for. Mm. Like the clarity is there. And then I think they are also like not wanting to waste time.
Mm.
Like so with high net worth individuals, like I would say these are the people that they wouldn't want to go on apps to start off with. Because for, I mean, different reasons. Like one, they don't have the time. Because honestly, apps is like, it takes up a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Like swiping and then chatting and then asking the person out and then arranging for it to happen, right? The other thing is probably also like privacy issues. They might be someone who's very recognizable or like something like that. Or like third, maybe it's not true, but they are just worried like, you know, are people just looking for their money or something, right? Yeah, so I think that's the reason why they come to us. So when we work with them, I think discretion is very important. For our Peerage service, we actually work, in a way, it's kind of like headhunting for love.
Mm.
So like, of course, if we do have a match for them within our database, then yeah, we work with that. But sometimes like, what they're looking for is like quite specific, and then like we have gone through the database and like, okay, you know, don't really have someone like that. Then we'll actually go out there and like search for them.
Mm. Yes. Okay. And different purpose, different functions.
Yes.
And tying back to Tinder and all these apps, right? And I'm very interested in like what's the next development. I'm sure you're keeping up. All these latest developments.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm just imagining, like, I don't know, right? After Tinder, what's next? Are they DMing each other? You know, they have the phrase slide in your DMs, right? Are they on TikTok, Instagram? Yes. Because that's where I get to know you, sort of, from your profile. And then I, you know, direct message you. And then, I don't know, is that something? Or are there like newer apps? Or is it still apps, right?
It's still apps. It's still apps. But I think it's just, from what I'm seeing, it's really just like the way that the meeting takes place or the way that the matching takes place. Mm. So there's one called like Fruits.
It's an app?
Yeah.
Fruits? Oh, yeah. Okay, okay.
Yeah, it's like, to us, it's like, huh, what, right? But apparently, it's really popular with, like, the younger generation.
Okay, okay.
So it's kind of like, when you go into that app, like, you kind of, like, are categorized, like, into one of these fruits. They are kind of, like, matching you, or, like, maybe it's kind of, like, a community sort of based thing, and so it's like so different. But it appeals to the young.
Yeah, it feels like a form of gamification,
That's right.
Different
that's
ways of making it interesting.
Yes. So I think it's still coming out that there's no very clear winner yet or no very clear sort of like matching mechanism yet. Because I think Tinder like took the world by storm because it was just such a, I mean, like, different way of looking at it. Like, before Tinder, like, there was nothing like it. And I think one of the things that really make Tinder, like, took off is that whole double-blind system, right? That means it's like, unless
both must swipe, yeah,
then it will happen, right? So, like, that was, I think, really, like, what kind of took off. The new apps, still a lot of very different experiments. And I mean, on the business perspective, actually, Match has been incubating, they have been investing, they have been buying. So yeah, so I think they are very clear because they know that they started with Match, you know, like and then like that's kind of like move on, you know, right now it's like really the older people are using it. And then they know that Tinder did really well. And then like, but they also starting to see kind of that that drop off. Mm. So they are also like banking on like, you know, what's going to be the next thing.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yes.
I want to bring up something which we talked about separately before before this conversation, right? Which is, you had this thought. I want to go deeper into it, right?
Yes.
Does spending a lot of money mean we'll have a good outcome? And I thought that was quite interesting to talk about.
If only if it's that easy, right?
I just throw money at it. Whatever problem, I just throw money at it.
Yeah. I think the answer is probably no. Yeah, I think definitely, you know, when it comes to dating, I think someone have done like an article on this, you know, like how much money does dating need, you know, because like going on dates, you know, like going to watch movie, you know, and then subsequently like the proposal, you know, like proposal, like maybe, you know,
how big is the diamond ring?
Yeah, how big is the diamond ring?
How big is the wedding?
Yeah. How big is the wedding? And then like, you know, how big is the house that you buy and things like that, right? Mm. I would say there seems to be like no very clear correlation on like how much money you spend would be like how positive the outcome is. So I mean, back to my personal story, is that when my husband proposed to me, I think we are the type, like we like a bit of the surprises. Like, so I didn't choose my own ring.
Okay,
like, so,
okay.
You know, like he chose the ring and then like he proposed, right? Honestly, I would say the diamond that he got me is definitely very small compared to like what my friends were getting lah. Like, and then so it's very funny, it's like when my friends saw my ring, like they're kind of like don't know how to react, you know. It's like they are like, how should I react to this? It's quite funny to see their expression. But I think to me it was like it didn't really matter, because like that time we just started a business, then like honestly we just poured out all our savings into it, and then like we are still starting out, we were like paying ourselves like $800 per month or something, right? It's like really, really sad. Yeah, so to me it was just more like a symbolism that, okay, you know, like everybody gets married, you know, like you propose with a wedding ring, you know, so like, you know, despite like our financial situation then, you know, he still got me a ring, and that's great, you know, like didn't think too much about it. So at the same time, I have another friend who was like also getting married, and then like in her case, like she got like a 2-carat like a ring. It was like crazy. So I mean, again, of course, like I wish like every marriage that I have, a wedding that I've been to, or every friend that I know of, like things work out, right? But I mean, unfortunately in this case, like that marriage actually didn't work out. Yeah. So it really doesn't matter like how much money you spend, be it on the wedding ring, or be it on the wedding, or even like the house. Like ultimately, I think what makes a break a relationship or a marriage is really your commonality in values. Yeah, so that's the thing that is the most important lah. Because I think there will definitely be times where there's going to be a lot of challenges. But if you have similar values, or like you have similar life goals, the perseverance to make sure that you want to stay together, right? I think those are the things that would actually make or break a relationship.
Don't think that, you know, high net worth, they don't need help with, you know, getting a partner, yes, right? They also need professional help in that aspect. Yep. But you see, we're talking about, you know, those in lunch actually, you know, not to work with a list, right? Be open-minded, right?
Yes,
but
yes,
for high net worth, wow, I can get a headhunter for love, right? Is there a mismatch in that?
I think like because two very different business models. So for lunch actually, we actually do member-to-member matching. Yep. So like both people would need to be members. Yep. So with Pierage, we actually do member to non-member.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's the reason. Because like with member to member, like both people are paying. Yes. So it's very difficult. I mean, I always say like I wish, you know, like be it for like lunch actually, or be it for Pierage, like I kind of have like a machine, right? Like I can just kind of like put in everything, and then like press enter, and then like the perfect person that you're looking for like is presented to you, right? But unfortunately, I don't have that machine. But then when it comes to Pierage, right, in terms of the investment, you know, in terms of like, what they're paying us, right, like they are actually paying us to search for like people who are like that. Yeah, because the search is actually the part that takes a lot of time. And then also when we are like, I would say presenting matches to them, right, like it's very clear that, you know, one side is a paying client and the other side is not a client. So when you work with the person who is not a client, like of course we will share with them like, what the person is looking out for, and then we feel that, you know, you are a good match. You know, are you open to like meeting this person? And then if they are, so it just help that whole process a bit easier. Yeah, but I mean, just coming back to all of it, right, ultimately when even with working with our Pierage clients, we also work with realistic expectations lah. So it's also not as if it's like, you know, they give us something that is like totally out of this world, and just because like, they are paying more money and we were like, okay, we'll do it, because it's like if it doesn't work, right, like no matter how much money they pay me, also it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Yes. How's the process like to find this non-member who matches the...
It really depends, you know. So for example, like it could be our own personal network.
Yeah.
So for example, like I'm in like, you know, different business organizations. So like I do meet just a lot of different people. Mm. It could be like, you know, we feel that, okay, you know, like this person is looking for might, you know, usually like hang out in certain circles or go for certain events. So, you know, like then we will attend these events as well to like, you know, look for potential matches. Or it could be like we work with other matchmakers. Like, I mean, I have matchmaker friends like from all around the world. And then like we, you know, just put it out like, okay, you know, we have this person who's looking for this, you know, have you met someone like this? So it's really like, wow, just putting all things out to help like find that match for them.
I'm imagining it as a customized service. Yes. Right? Very personalized.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Of course, they are paying a different level.
Yes.
Of the service fees. But, yes. But yeah, they are looking for different things as well.
Yes, that's right.
Wow, that's very interesting. Like, what? Okay.
Yes.
High net worth dating.
Yes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Stay tuned all the way after this quick note for our personal money question segment. Before that, I hope you've learned something useful today. Join our Telegram group, follow us on our socials, and check out thefinancialcoconut.com.
So what has been your best and worst investment? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a financial one.
Yeah. Okay. So I think best, like there are many, but if I really have to choose one, I would say investing my time in Toastmasters.
Public speaking.
Yep. So when I was studying my master's in London, like that time, like my then boyfriend, now husband Jamie, like he was already back in Singapore, and then he joined Toastmasters, and then he was like, oh, you know, this is really interesting, you should check it out. So I did, and then I joined a local club in London, and it's not a student club, so it's like a public club, so I really meet people from all walks of life. And I think that's really something that has helped me tremendously, and it's a skill set that, you know, I carry with me like forever. Like, because people have said to me like, oh wow, you know, Violet, you seem so natural, you know, like when you talk you know, on the stage, you are not nervous, you talk so well and things like that. And I'm like, it's actually all practice. And like, it's really Toastmasters, because it's something that you can, you know, like speak in front of a crowd that's like super supportive, and then you get like evaluated after that, you know, you keep improving and then you keep practicing. So I highly recommend it.
Right, it helps you to present yourself better. Yes. And it helps you on your media interviews too.
Oh, yeah. So on that part of it, like, I'm not sure how familiar everybody is with Toastmasters. So there's one part that's called Table Topics. So Table Topics, basically, it's like, you know, you just go up there and then the person who's doing Table Topics will give you a piece of paper or something.
Impromptu.
Impromptu, yeah, exactly. And immediately, you're just supposed to talk for like 2 to 3 minutes on it. And like when I first started, I was like, oh my goodness, how does this even work? But like after a while, I just got so good at it, right? And it's so helpful, like you say, when it comes to like media interviews or just anything that people throw at you, because you already kind of have a framework of like, how do you want to like answer any question that's given to you.
So that's the best investment of time.
Yes.
To pick up a skill.
Yes.
What's your worst investment?
Okay, I really struggle with this question, because I think the problem with me, I guess, is that I never really think something is bad. So it's like, for example, you know, when sometimes I get questions or interview questions on like, oh, what is your biggest mistake?
Right.
What is like something you really regret? And I find it very difficult, because I feel everything that I've done, so, you know, in this case, be it an investment, like I always get something out of it. Like, you know, be it is like, let's say maybe I invested the money and I lost it, but I felt that, okay, then I learned that maybe I should never invest in this anymore, right? Or like, let's say I invested my time in something, or invested like my feelings in a relationship or even a friendship, but I always learn something from it. I feel that there's always a takeaway, and whatever that takeaway, like, just make me better. And as a result, then I just don't think about it as a worse or bad thing anymore.
You've been in business for a long time.
Yeah.
And I mean, many people look to you for business advice mm-hmm. as well, right? So is there a part of a life where business did not work out and you learned something from it?
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. I mean, so many. I mean, but I think I have very selective memory as well. Like, I always remember the good things. So like, whenever people ask me like, oh, what are the challenges, whatever, then I'm like, okay leh. Then my husband beside me will be like, hey, no lah, you know, remember that happened, that happened. Right, I'm like, oh yeah, ho. Yeah, so I think, I don't know, the way my mind functions is just kind of like, you know, even bad things happen, like, I just draw like a very positive sort of learning from it. And after that, that just kind of be something positive, even though it kind of like started with something negative.
Right. You overcame all of those obstacles. Yeah. And now it's just, you know, in a nice box, you know, that tucked away.
Yeah. The nice box that I'm like, okay, you know, that happened. I learned from
lesson
it.
Lesson learned. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Second question. What is something that you spent under $100 that has been a game changer in your life?
Okay. So actually it's like my hair tie that I get from Daiso.
Okay. Way less than 100. Yeah.
It's like I think $2 you get like, I don't know, like six of it or something in multiple colors. So why is it a game changer? It's because I'm really someone that would love it if like my hair is like in like, you know, always nice and perfect and things like that. But I'm just too lazy to invest time every day to like make it look good. So like, you know, sometimes you are just doing things or like it's very hot and then like, oh, I need to get it up, right? So I always have like a hair tie on my wrist. And why it's also a game changer or lifesaver sometimes, it's also like for my daughter. So my daughter like inherited like my husband and my like very like thick hair, like thick luscious hair, and then she's always like not having anything to tie her hair. So like always like when we go out, she'll be like, oh, it's very hot, you know, like it's like all over my face, you know, like it's in the food. So I'm like, okay, take mine.
Yeah,
so
mom has one.
Yeah, so that's why I'm constantly like buying like these $2 hair ties from Daiso.
Right, helps you in your life. Okay, so last question for you. We're looking for a recommendation, a place that you learn from that you think is underrated. Nobody's talking about it enough. It can be a book, website, blog, podcast. Yeah.
I would say actually, like in my last, I don't know, like 18 years, I mean being an entrepreneur and just generally, right? A place that I have learned from so much and like I think is very underrated because sometimes I always say that this is the best kept secret or something. It's actually from an organization called Entrepreneurs Organization.
Entrepreneurs EO.
Yeah,
okay.
So like it's kind of like a secret society, like, you know, a lot of people have never heard about it. And why I love being part of this organization and why I've learned so much from it is because I'm learning things that I didn't know. Yeah. Because I think a lot of things, right, like when we are learning, be it like from books or like YouTube or podcasts or courses, it's like we know we didn't know it. So then we like go and learn it, right? We can search it up. But at EO, we actually have something called like forums, like where like we meet every month and then we are like sharing live, sharing our challenges. And then I'll be listening to someone else sharing and I'll be like, oh, wow, I didn't know that that would actually happen. You know, like, then I like, okay, maybe that might happen to me in 5 years time or 10 years time. Okay, now I better like learn from this and see what should I do to make sure this doesn't happen to me, for example. Yeah, so I think that's invaluable because like it's something that you didn't even know you didn't know, right?
Yeah, it's like if you read a book, you are expecting something from it. It's very targeted, right? Whereas you go for every EO meeting, you don't know what to expect and then it surprises you.
Yes, it does.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Thank you.